This is insane. But I'm getting ready to record Geeks Without God with Molly and Nick about Christmas movies, and I was like, I should have asked Wendy, and they said call her and see if she can do it.
Welcome to Geeks Without God with Molly Glover, Nick Glover, and Tim Wick.
We're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks. Geeks Without God.
This week on Geeks Without God, it is nearly Christmas, and we're talking about Xmas movies with special last-minute surprise guest Wendy Bowlesby. Well, at least she was surprised when we called her.
We're geeks without God.
Welcome to Geeks Without God. I am your host, Molly Glover, joined as always by my co-hosts, Nick Glover.
Bah humbug.
And Tim Wick.
Jingle, jingle, jingle.
And today we are joined by the inestimable friend of the show, Wendy Bowlesby.
Yay.
Ho, ho, ho.
Wendy, so we called Wendy 5 minutes ago, and we were like, you should be on this show. We were going to do a show about our favorite holiday Christmas movies. Why don't we have Wendy? And she's available, so she's here with us. It's a Christmas miracle.
Or it's just the pandemic.
It's a pandemic miracle.
The video of this episode has become my favorite Christmas movie.
Aww. So this episode is about Christmas movies. I will say holiday movies, but really, they're mostly going to be Christmas movies. I don't know of a lot of New Year's or Hanukkah or Kwanzaa movies. Unfortunately, there should be more. I can't think of many, but we'll talk. I think there might be at least one that I can think of that I had in my mind. So that said, we're going to talk about what we love, what we don't love, and I have some just questions. And we're just going to take off, right? It's going to be really great. Maybe you get some inspiration because it's the week of Christmas is upon us at this point. And so we are, if you need something to watch or something to hate watch, we're here for you. All right. So first of all, first question, what's your favorite secular holiday movie? Can you think of a secular Christmas movie? A movie where maybe they don't talk about Jesus or like the reason for the season. There's no angels. It's set at Christmas or it's about Christmas. Favorite secular Christmas movie?
I definitely have like and I know someone's gonna say it and some or mention the annual debate about it. And that's, you know, Die Hard.
Okay.
As a Christmas movie. Which I strongly endorse, if only because the annual argument about whether or not Die Hard is a Christmas movie has become a Christmas tradition.
That's true.
Therefore, by denying it being a Christmas movie, you've made it a Christmas movie.
It's been legitimized.
It has.
By the deniers.
It's true.
It's true. Yeah. Much like COVID, it's been legitimized by the deniers.
It has very little to do with Christmas, but it is very much a Christmas movie for me, and I do like to watch it around Christmas time.
It has a very Christmassy line. Now I have a machine gun. Ho, ho, ho. Ho. Yeah, like it's very, that's Christmas right there.
That's Christmas right there in a nutshell.
All right, what do y'all think? Tim or Wendy?
I want to know what Wendy says first. I have a few thoughts, and I'm saving mine so I see what Wendy says.
Okay, first off, you said secular, and my brain went succulent.
Succulent.
You love juicy, succulent Christmas
it's
movies.
It's Geeks Without God, for God's sake.
Well, I'm in Texas, so I'm like, with cacti?
Sure.
No, my favorite now, I have a tradition around Love Actually. They do a screening at the Draft House here that in normal times I go to every year. With friends, but really my favorite, and this is just in the last 3 years, because it was about 3 years ago I discovered it, The 12 Dates of Christmas.
What is this?
Sounds like a Lifetime.
It sounds like a Hallmark movie.
Hallmark.
Oh, yeah? Yeah.
It was a made-for-TV movie, and it stars, the female lead is the, she's the female love interest from the Jason Statham movie where his heart is going to stop.
Oh, yeah. That movie.
Crank. Jesus Christ. Yes.
And it is Groundhog Day at Christmas. She's shopping, hits her head, and every day it resets back to that day as she's trying to get her love life sorted out.
Okay. All right. And that's good.
It's funny and charming, and it's exactly what I've just described to you. And
okay. So and what's romantic. Your tradition? You watch it every year, or you have a day that you watch it? Is there...
Well, Chris likes it too, because at first, so this was when I first went off on, when I was, we moved down here and I didn't have a life, and I just stayed up by myself watching all of the movies on Netflix.
Yeah.
Right at the point where Netflix was like, oh, we could just put anything out and you people will watch it. It was literally the same year that Netflix tweeted at that poor, at whoever that was, if somebody watched A Christmas Prince 500 times, are you okay? And I was like, a Christmas Prince? Oh,
that sounds good.
So I started watching all the shitty movies. And 12 Dates of Christmas was on there that year. It is no longer. And then I was super sad the next year when I tried to show it to Chris. So we just bought it. He was like, I will buy it. It will be a Christmas.
That's amazing. Or
it was $5.
Of course it was. Amazing. All right. All right, Tim.
So the only tradition is Chris awake?
Okay.
Sure.
That sounds, I bet there's a lot of traditions like that.
Yeah, knowing Chris. They do mention Jesus in the movie, but I still think it is very definitely a secular Christmas film, and that is The Ref, which every Christmas I have to watch The Ref, and I recognize that Kevin Spacey is problematic, but I cannot allow that to matter because The Ref is...
He sucks in the movie. You're not supposed to like him.
He sucks as a person. I don't think he sucks.
I know, but I'm saying in the movie, you're not supposed to like him. So you can kind of hate watch him in the movie too, right?
Sure. Yeah.
You're being forced to enjoy his character.
Yeah, he's not the hero or anything.
Yeah. Oh. But it's hilarious. It's acerbic. It's like every terrible family rolled into one.
Mm-hmm.
And it's filled with just hilarious inside jokes, and I cannot get enough of it. And shoot, I'm forgetting the name of the lead right now, but the guy who plays the lead,
Dennis Leary.
There it is. Yeah. See, I'm getting old, names are going away.
And the Jesus mention is a very like sarcastic mention too.
Yeah. Oh well, there's, you know, the son steals the baby Jesus. One of the things that I love about the movie is that Dennis Leary's character, he puts food into his mouth like 7 different times and he never swallows because it's all disgusting. Every bit of food he puts into his mouth, he spits out.
Oh,
and
my gosh.
It's a hilarious movie. It doesn't have anything to do with God, except every now and again they mention Jesus. But sure.
Jesus fucking Christ. It's
right.
How it gets mentioned.
When the kids are like, when Catherine Baranski's kids are like, well, what are we going to do? And she slaps one of them on the back of the head and says, celebrate the birth of Christ.
Yeah.
That's about as religious as it gets. So
I honestly don't know if I've seen The Ref as an adult.
Oh, we should watch it.
Like, it's been a really long time for me since I've seen that movie. So I'm sure I should add that to the list to watch as a Christmas movie I might enjoy.
I think you would appreciate it as an adult, for sure. Yeah. For me, I would say up until just a couple weeks ago, I would have said Home Alone, because I have a new, honestly, and it's a warm fuzzies one. We saw Happiest Season.
Oh yeah,
on Hulu, and it's super gay and it's super good. Like I really loved it. I really did. And even though the plot is a little bit of a gay trope that kind of bugs me with the whole like, oh, I lied and I didn't come out and they don't know, so we have to pretend we're not gay kind of a thing. It actually worked. They made it work. Daniel Levy has a speech that really makes it okay in a way that explains, you know, this is just, and that is actually Clea DuVall's story. She's the one who directed it.
Oh.
And that is her story.
Which was she?
I don't know, but I'm guessing the one that got told to not be gay, not the one who didn't tell her parents. I'm just guessing.
Kristen Stewart,
yeah. But that was really fun. So if you haven't seen Happiest Season, you should definitely check that one out.
I literally just watched that today. So
I liked it I hate the protagonist. Like, right up until the end, I was like, you could do better. Like, don't do it. Leave with, what's her name?
Aubrey Plaza.
Leave with Aubrey Plaza. Yeah. She's way better in every way.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, and I mean, that actress was the radar tech from The Martian, if I'm remembering right. Yeah. I like her.
Yeah, she's a good... I kept thinking that she was... the one from Girls, Brian Williams' daughter or whatever. I kept getting her confused with the other one, but yeah.
What was it you said about Kristen Stewart and her acting?
Oh, we were saying romantic... that her acting is always so bad, and then suddenly when she wasn't forced to pretend she wants to fuck a dude, she just like came alive. So like it was like all of a sudden she was a really good actor. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know what changed.
There's one thing she can't act.
Okay, so.
You should also watch her in Underwater, because she doesn't have to pretend to be attracted to anything she doesn't like, and in fact is running away from undersea monsters. And
she was good in Panic Room. Yeah, Panic Room, same thing. She was a child, and therefore not being forced to try to act like she wanted to have sex with anybody, so yeah. It worked out.
Okay. Certainly not any vampires.
Okay, so what is a Christmas movie you never want to see again? And it's probably gonna be easier for Wendy because she's watched so many terrible ones, but one that you never want to see again. I will start.
I got it.
I never want to see A Christmas Story again.
Oh,
I hate it.
They both hate it. Yeah, I should have warned you before I even let you on the on the podcast. Yeah, Wendy,
but the lamp. The lake lamp.
I think the lamp is so overdone at this point. Like, it's anything about that movie that I ever liked in the 90s has been ruined. And like any joke from that movie has just been driven into the fucking ground, like by people who that's their whole identity is they like that movie. And so that's their thing. I don't know. I ever since I was a kid and I watched it, I don't like the narrator. I don't like the oh my God, the 50s was better. You know, like none of it does anything for me. I wish I'd never had to see it again. I mean, I have the opportunity to never see it again, but I wish I could make it so no one got to see it again.
Oh, wow. Wow.
Oh, shit.
Wow.
That's
pretty harsh.
You don't have to go that far, but what's a Christmas movie that you never want to be subjected to again?
Okay. I just found this one.
And, oh, boy.
Like, there might be other movies I actually hate more, but I just got to talk about this
movie.
Yeah,
yeah.
It's on Netflix. It's called A Christmas Catch.
Oh, boy.
And the premise is she's a cop and she bad at romance, random meeting with a dude. And the next day finds out he might be a jewel thief and they have to put him under observation. And then he asks her out. And so then they're like, go on dates with him so that you can investigate him. Right?
Oh, my God.
Like, and that's fine. Honestly, it's a shitty Christmas movie. Yeah. That's what they do. And I call them Xmas movies because they're not really about like it's always about Christmas, but since I'm an atheist, I have an issue with like constantly saying Christmas.
I say Xmas too. That's just how I always write it.
But here's why. So Chris picked it. Because there is a point at the beginning of November when they started to pop up on Netflix. Where anytime I saw anything with Christmas in it, I was saving it to my list. I'm like, nope, I don't start watching until Thanksgiving, but I'm getting these lined up. And so Chris was awake. Let's all just celebrate that for a minute. And he was in charge and he's like, oh, that one looks terrible. Let's watch that. And I want to be clear. I love them. I do. This one started. The lead is charming. The female lead is charming and actually very funny. And then the romantic dude showed up.
Oh, no.
Honey, I don't know if we can finish this. Spoiler alert, we did.
Did they fall in love? Did he steal the jewels?
No.
Or did he turn away from a life of crime because he was afraid his new cop girlfriend would murder him?
His ex-girlfriend set him up, and the ex-girlfriend... I don't want to spoil it for... No, don't watch it.
Oh, God, no, don't spoil it.
Spoil the shit out of it.
The ex-girlfriend is masquerading as the FBI agent that sent her on it to try to get him to tell her where he had hidden the thing that she had hidden the jewels inside.
I see. It's very easy to infiltrate the FBI.
But he's so wooden and weird looking. Like he's a caricature of what you think might be attractive, except he's gone over into the uncanny valley. Like his face is weirdly concave and squinty. And he goes to kiss her at the end. And it wasn't just me. Chris and I both physically flinched because he didn't. With his tongue, and we both went, oh God. But this is the movie where I was educating Chris on something I've just noticed with these movies. And I will say this movie did it so crazy that I think that's like, this is self-awareness leaning into it. The Christmasing decorations is insane. Every room has to have Christmas decorations. Oh, and right God. At the point where I point, because I noticed it like in A Christmas Prince and Princess Switch, and you know, where it makes
sense. They pay people to do that, right? Yeah,
they've got servants to decorate everything, and you're in this lavish, huge bedroom.
Of course,
that the fact that there's a Christmas tree in your bedroom doesn't seem weird when it's a suite.
Sure.
But then this movie, she wakes up in her little studio apartment, Christmas tree right there. She wanders over to her kitchen, and there's a wreath over the stove and a Christmas tree, a little Christmas tree on the table. And I'm pointing out to Chris, I'm like, these movies, every background and of course, like in office, all the office settings, right?
Yeah.
She goes into her bathroom and there's a wreath in the shower. And
I love the idea that you would just like risk a grease fire with a wreath over your stove. Like that's clearly a stove that is not getting used at all.
I want a Christmas tree in my bathroom now.
Amazing. All right, Tim, what's a Christmas movie you hope you never see again?
How the Grinch Stole Christmas, starring Jim Carrey. It is such
terrible
travesty. I mean, you start with the fact that it's based on a Dr. Seuss book, which is like 20 pages long, and now they're going to turn it into a 20-minute, into a two-hour movie. I mean, the TV special with, which is great.
Cartoon,
seriously.
Yeah.
The cartoon is great, and it has a lot of padding.
It made up a lot of shit.
Yeah, the actual story is about 10 minutes of that special. And the rest of it is padding. And then they pad it out to 2 hours. And they have to, and the whole point of the original story is, you know, the Grinch is like, everybody's so materialistic, I hate Christmas. And it turns out that the Whos aren't actually materialistic at all. And that's not the true meaning of Christmas, blah, blah, blah.
Right, right.
But in the Jim Carrey version, the Whos are all materialistic. Actually the Grinch that in his own weird way teaches them not to be materialistic, and it's just so backwards. And also Jim Carrey can be great. He can be.
Yeah,
sure.
But he should be good for that role.
If he is not reined in, he is agonizing to watch. And that's what happens in How the Grinch Stole Christmas. Nobody's holding Jim Carrey back. They're letting Jim Carrey go full Jim Carrey, and just painful. I hate it so much.
The makeup effects that they went with, the design, I guess the best way to put it is the creature design for the makeup on the Whos is so off-putting that, like, you want them to fail. Like, you're actually hoping that the Grinch steals their Christmas.
Christmas, man.
Look at these gross pig-faced monsters.
It kind of hits that, like, makes me a little uncomfortable, uncanny valley type thing.
Yeah.
It's just too close to human while being inhuman that makes you uncomfortable.
It's just bad.
It's just all bad.
Nick, what's the Christmas movie you never want to see again?
Real quick, before that, Tim, Wendy, have you guys heard the original Grinch movie, Grinch and Tony the Tiger fanfic thing?
No.
Yes.
So the person that sings "You're a Mean One, Mr. Grinch,"
Earl Ravenscroft,
is who voiced Tony the Tiger. They're great. Whatever.
Yeah.
And so there's this fan theory that this 2 minutes and 58 seconds of just dragging the Grinch is actually Tony the Tiger, the Grinch's jilted ex-lover, who was tired of his emotionally unavailable partner and has left him. And it's just this like long Tumblr post that you can read that ends with fan art of Tony the Tiger holding a picture of the Grinch and crying and saying, "You're a mean one, Mr. Grinch," as he paws the picture. And then it's the Grinch holding a picture of Tony the Tiger and going, "You're great." Yeah, but So, but my movie that I could do without seeing ever again that's a Christmas movie is It's a Wonderful Life.
Oh, yes.
And allow me to explain why. So it's not because it's old or because it's black and white or anything like that. I think the message of the movie is bullshit. The first, like, two-thirds of that movie is basically showing you why life is garbage. The whole bank embezzlement, all that stuff is like a nonsense plot point. It's not resolved well. The end of the movie is bullshit. I think that it's intellectually insulting. And I know it's just a Christmas movie or whatever, but like the people in the town are like so easily persuaded out of nowhere to go from being like totally fucking outraged to being like, just kidding, the drop of a hat with very little convincing. Mm-hmm. I could do without seeing it ever again. I just don't think that it's, I don't know, man.
I blame that movie for Salvation Army bell ringers.
Oh, right?
Like, I really do. I think that's why they ring that goddamn bell like it's like they're trying to kill it.
Yeah.
All right, next question. What is, I'm going to say, what's the best, your favorite musical Christmas movie? Or it doesn't have to be a musical movie so much as a movie that has the best music in it. Like, you love it. You love the music that's in it. You appreciate. And Love Actually is actually mine. I always hated the Mariah Carey All I Want for Christmas Is You until I saw it in Love Actually, and it was very charming. And I'm like, maybe what I hate is Mariah Carey.
Exactly.
Yeah. But also there's a lot of really good music in that movie. Not just that song, but there's other good music that's in there.
Oh, come on, Hugh Grant dancing.
Yeah, the Bill Nye Christmas song that he comes up with.
Oh my God.
He just is so great. Like, I really like that. I like that movie for a lot of reasons. Problematic aside, I like it. And I like the music. I think the music is why I like it so much. So what's a movie that has music in it, Christmas movie that you like?
I think it might be cheating, but I'm going to say Nightmare Before Christmas.
It's
not cheating.
That's
okay.
Both a Halloween and a Christmas movie. I think
it's a modern animated Christmas musical.
Yeah.
I really like it. I don't think I don't know anyone that is like, fuck that movie. Like, even right. People that don't like singing in movies necessarily. I think it has lots of funny songs. It has cute songs. It has a few serious, you know, melancholy Jack Skellington songs. Mm-hmm.
All right. Tim, Wendy, what are you thinking?
I've got a couple of thoughts. Tim? What? Go yeah. It's a little bit of a love-hate thing, but... I enjoy a lot of the music from The Muppet Christmas Carol, and then there are a couple of songs from Muppet Christmas Carol that I despise.
Ooh, like, which ones do you despise?
The Bless Us All, Everyone song is just long and boring.
Yeah.
And it's one of the things that
Doesn't
as much
Robin
as I
sing
love...
That?
What?
Doesn't yes. Robin sing
yeah,
that?
Robin sings that. One of the things I love The Muppets dearly, but... with very few exceptions, anytime they sing a song that's touching, I think it just doesn't work because it's the Muppets and it just looks dumb.
Except never before.
Yeah, well, but that's played for laughs, you see, so it's okay.
Yeah.
But like the Scrooge song at the beginning of that movie is awesome. It's one of the best introductions of Ebenezer Scrooge in a Christmas Carol movie or storytelling that I've seen. And the ice skating penguin song, One More Sleep Until Christmas, there's a charm to that, and there's a charm to the song that the Ghost of Christmas Present sings. There is, I have to say, and I know I'm not the only person who remembers this, that there used to be a cut of this movie when it came out in the theaters where the scene after Belle breaks up with Scrooge, she sings a breakup song.
Mm.
And it's painfully bad. It is painfully bad, and it's not there. It is not
like a Mandela.
In...
Is it like a Mandela effect that you forgot it, or like, that you think
no,
it was there?
No, I'm not the only.
It?
No, like Pat remembers this scene too.
I know you're
too.
Not the only person, but that's the thing about the Mandela effect. But
I'm just saying. I've had this conversation with a lot of people, and a lot of people remember this scene, and I think it was in the theatrical release.
Because it's the Berenstain Bears.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. It's Febreze has three.
And I think that basically they realized it was so bad that they just cut it from the movie. So anyway, but most of the Muppet Christmas Carol music I like a lot.
All right. Wendy, what do you think?
I'm going with a different Christmas carol. I'm going with the 1970 Albert Finney Scrooge, which was the musical version with songs by Anthony Newley. And they are catchy AF. And like there's a tepid love ballad in there, but it's a 70s Anthony Newley ballad.
Yeah.
So it's still kind of weirdly charming.
Sure.
But you get the song where they are literally dancing on his grave. The song is that's it, because it's in the future segment, and they are singing, the title of the song is Thank You Very Much, and they're literally like, thank you very much, thank you very much, that's the nicest thing that anyone's ever done for me. And what did he do? He died.
He died, yeah. That's a good, but I like that, because that's kind of, instead of the Ghost of Christmas Future, it's like, what do they show you? Oh, they're literally dancing on your grave. They're very happy that you died, sir. And that's a reason that Scrooge would be like, well, fuck that. Like, I can still change, right? And make them hate me, you know, like, not be happy. Oh, see, that was George Bailey. He'd be like, so I should kill myself? Like, all right. Okay, so favorite guilty pleasure Christmas movie? I bet, Wendy, you have...
I have no guilt.
I'm using the phrase guilty pleasure as the idiom. So a movie that you know is bad and you want to, and you like watching it. A bad Christmas movie you like to watch. How's that?
The entire trilogy of A Christmas Prince.
There's a trilogy.
Unashamedly, I have been saving up because it's going to be a triple feature, and I don't want to be interrupted.
Oh my god! Oh my
god! Yes, because there's a Christmas Prince, a Christmas Prince, the Royal Wedding, and a Christmas Prince, the Royal Baby, and they are.
So it's like the Bridget Jones books.
Yes, one of the things I love is that these Netflix originals are existing in a weird shared metaverse, because one of the things they do is at some point in the movie, somebody will sit down to watch a movie on TV and will go to Netflix and will pick a different Netflix original. And so you see that like somebody in Christmas Inheritance is watching A Christmas Prince, somebody in Princess Switch is watching Christmas.
Oh, sure.
And I find that charming, but
that
also
charming.
Like, fuck it. They're like, they are the epitome of this shitty Xmas movie that I can't wait to watch every season.
Yeah. All right. What we got one, Nick?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, what is it?
Reindeer Games.
Reindeer Games. That's a good one.
It's got they rob a casino dressed up as Santa Clauses.
Yeah.
It's got Ben Affleck and Charlize Theron and Gary Sinise.
Reindeer Games.
Like, the acting is bad. The plot is not very good. The whole, like, tricky, like, prison cellmate is the one that knows the inside information to rob the casino and stuff. Like,
it's super tropey.
It's not a very good movie. It's like someone was like, I bet I could make like a Coen Brothers action movie in Christmas time.
Yeah.
And they didn't do that well.
No, there's none of it that they did well.
But it's like a fun, dumb action movie like the epitome of that, like, you know, early 2000s-ish.
Yep.
Like, yeah. Ben Affleck action movie.
I bet it'd be a good double feature with Long Kiss Goodnight.
Yeah.
Oh,
exactly.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Exactly.
All right.
But the Long Kiss Goodnight's kind of awesome.
Well, but then like it does that thing.
That's the palate cleanser.
Yeah. Yeah.
When I came home with National Treasure on DVD, I bought it used for like $2, and I'm like, look what I bought, and Chris was like, but if you wanted to watch that, we could just watch Raiders of the Lost Ark and it would be good. And I said, yes, but sometimes I want to watch Raiders of the Lost Ark, but have it be bad.
Yeah.
And so
That's good. Yeah, yeah. For me, it's Silent Night, Deadly Night, which I used to watch all the time with my brother. We would, so that is a movie where there is a serial killer who dresses up like Santa. And he's really more of a spree killer because he's really killing everyone on Christmas. But my favorite part, I should say our favorite part really, is when Santa Claus kills somebody by connecting jumper cables to the car and then jamming the other ends of the jumper cables into someone's eye sockets.
Like, and that isn't enough. The electricity is a little.
It's real bad. It's like a bad slasher movie, and then also it's all Christmassy, and it's in the Santa suits, and like, it's just it's rough.
I think my favorite part of that was the fact that you paused to delineate and clarify. He's not a serial killer. He's a spree killer.
Yes, well,
see, he does. I mean, I guess maybe he does this every Christmas, and then he is a serial killer. But I think in the movie, we're only shown the spree.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Tim, what's your favorite, not guilty, but your favorite bad movie that you like to watch for Christmas?
I think it's Home Alone 2.
Oh, yeah.
Because,
come on.
I mean, it's basically just Home Alone. Movie. It's the same movie. And you spend the whole movie saying exactly what the parents say at the beginning. I can't believe you did this twice. It's like, how is that? There's no fucking way this happens. They would be handcuffed to that child. There would be no way that it would happen again. And yet it does. And it is in every way not as good as Home Alone.
Yeah, that's a really good point.
And yet I'm entertained by it nonetheless. So
I was super intrigued by someone's pitch for another Home Alone movie where they return to the series with Kevin McAllister as the protagonist. 30 years later, the Sticky Bandits are out of prison and this whole time have been obsessing on revenge. And it's Kevin McAllister and his partner, who's played by David Levy, are put into a situation where they are now the ones that need to get into the house that has been set up full of traps by the two burglars. And so it's a very old Joe Pesci and the other guy who have booby-trapped this whole house, and these two need to get in to, like, save their kid who's been kidnapped. And I would watch the fuck out of that movie. That sounds awesome.
That sounds great.
All right, real quick. Last thing we're going to do, just your favorite movie to watch on Christmas. If you're going to watch it on Christmas, what movie you can just pick one. We don't need to talk about it. Just what movie do you want to watch on Christmas? We don't usually watch movies on Christmas in my family, but when we have, I have enjoyed watching Bad Santa with Billy Bob Thornton.
Oh, that's so fun.
It's a fun movie. It's actually got good heartwarming spirit. It's my family's Speed. It is both gross and terrible. In that way that, like, you're rooting for a bad guy who has a heart of gold.
Granny Spry?
Right? You're not going to shit right for a week. All of that. It's a lot of really good, gross lines from that movie. But it's sweet in the end.
In its own way, yes.
I'm cheating on this one because I don't have any traditions of watching Christmas movies on Christmas, and I am a little bit of a bah humbug when it comes to Christmas movies in general, and I will cheat and say The Yule Log.
Oh, we do watch the Yule Log, though.
Sure. That is what we watch on
Christmas.
We have
a Yule Log drinking game where you take a drink every time you get to see them poke the fire. You take two drinks when they add a log.
I like this.
That's good.
Sounds like a great tradition.
All right. What are y'all thinking?
Like you two, like, we do have a tradition of watching movies at Christmas, but the tradition is going out to see a movie at Christmas, whatever's in the theater, which isn't necessarily a Christmas movie. But so what I'll do is I'll go sideways on it in terms of what is our favorite family movie.
Yeah, yeah.
I have a lot of movies that I watch with Chris, but getting the one that Teddy loves too. We fucking love Elf, man.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Love it.
Yep.
Like, can't get enough of it. Watch it even when it's not Christmas.
Goodbye, Mr. Narwhal.
That's a good, yep. Yeah, that's a good one.
Teddy's turning into somebody who quotes movies because she's...
Of course she is. She'll fit in among her people.
Christmas or not, Elf is one of my brother's favorite movies. Like, even out of Christmas season, like...
He loves it.
He's just so innocent. Like, yeah.
All right, Tim.
Just so you all realize that Molly, Nick, and I don't think the same way on everything. Every Christmas, we watch A Christmas Story.
Yay!
Every Christmas. That's our family tradition. So it has to be my answer.
I like watching, like, usually we're so busy. We each have divorced parents, so we have 5 Christmases normally, so we don't really have time on Christmas to do things. But this year, I think we got a good list of stuff.
It's gonna be a little different.
I'll watch The Ref.
It's gonna be real different.
Watch The Ref for Christmas this year.
Here's another recommendation: Better Watch Out. It is a home invasion horror movie at Christmas.
I also think we should mention Runner Up About a Boy, which has one of the best Christmas songs that isn't a Christmas song for real. In that his, because Hugh Grant's character, his dad got rich writing one of the most famous Christmas songs in the UK.
Yes.
And now he just lives off that money. And so every time someone finds out that his dad wrote Here Comes Santa's Super Sleigh, they sing the song at him and he wants to like blow his brains out because he hates the song so much. Mm-hmm. But I think of that all the time, that song. All right, it's time for 5 questions.
5 questions.
5 questions. And Wendy, because we surprised this on you, we actually have 5 questions that Tim wrote.
It's true.
For this theme. So he wrote us 5 holiday movie and holiday themed questions. Tim, take it away.
Question number 1, the annual Christmas debate over whether or not Die Hard is a Christmas movie. Of course it is. However, what is one thing that in your opinion a movie must have to be considered a Christmas movie? And I will go first. It can have more than one thing, right? But it's like, if there's this one thing in a movie, then it is definitely a Christmas movie. And for me, it is any use of jingle bells within a film identifies
like
it as a Christmas
movie.
The
song or the instrument?
No, the instrument. The little jingle bell instrument. Like there's off-key jingle bells in Die Hard, which means no matter what other arguments you have, your arguments are invalid. There are off-key jingle bells. Die Hard is a Christmas movie. So that's my take on answering question number 1.
The setting has to be Christmas.
Okay.
Like, the story could have absolutely nothing to do with Christmas, but if in the background there's Christmas shit happening, like there's a game I used to play called The Division, which takes place in New York City after a plague has wiped out a lot of the population. But the plague starts hitting on Black Friday and comes to fruition and has kind of run its course at the worst by December. So the world is like a Christmas wasteland with all these you know, people out there that are, you know, gunning for food and stuff.
So it feels like a Christmas
game. I would say that even though the Division takes place in like February, because there's snow on the ground and Christmas decorations up, it's a Christmas game.
I'm gonna piggyback on that. I think that if it's set at Christmas time, which to me is any time in the month of December, right? If it's set at Christmas time and someone learns a lesson, to me that's a Christmas movie. There has to be a lesson involved. Some kind of, someone's heart is warmed, or someone learns, it doesn't have to be the meaning of Christmas, but just someone learns a lesson about being a better person. To me, that's usually a Christmas movie.
Well, that's convenient because most movies are about the hero's journey.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
So that means like Iron Man 3, totally a Christmas movie. Any
Shane
Black.
Is it set at Christmas? Is it set at Christmas? Well, then I would say sure.
All Shane Black movies are set at Christmas. Swear to God.
All right.
So Shane Black, The Nice Guys, Kiss Kiss Bang Bang. So for me, a Christmas movie has to have, in that soundtrack, somebody doing a fun, different take on a Christmas carol.
Oh, sure.
Right? Like, so it's got to have, like,
this
you
time
know,
they're rapping.
Like a rap Christmas carol, or like a jazz swing lounge version, or a pop version, or anything like that. So okay. Like in Die Hard, when he's in the car listening to the like hip hop version of like the hip hop soundtrack, often it's the actual soundtrack, not the diegetic music in it, but like just as we're transitioning to a new locale and there's some swing jingle bells going on.
All right.
It's a Christmas movie.
All right. The background even. I like that.
Yeah.
That's a good answer.
Hi, Tim.
I already did mine.
Question 2.
Oh, question 2. Yeah, we can do that. question number 2. Before I even knew she was going to be on the podcast, this question was inspired by Miss Wendy Bowlesby. She recently observed to me just this weekend that trashy holiday movies typically feature homes with Christmas trees in every room of the house. So my question to all of you, how many Christmas trees are too many Christmas trees?
Two and a half is too many. Like, any more than two?
Like, if you have two full-size trees, I think that's fine. I think if you have, like, one full-size tree and a couple of small trees, that's fine.
Sure, sure.
But I think as soon as you have, like, three full-size trees, I think you've gone too far. Many. You have too much house. You have too much house.
I think there should only be one Christmas tree. I'm a traditionalist. I think everything else should be, like, wreaths or other kinds of garlands or stuff. I think just one tree.
So you're saying two trees is too many trees?
I'm saying one and a half trees is too many trees. Wow. One Christmas tree.
The potted orange tree we have in the kitchen is currently decorated with Christmas decorations.
Correct. That's not a Christmas tree.
Okay.
A Christmas tree is an evergreen.
You said you wanted to put like a tiny pine like Christmas tree on your desk.
I did because we have one tree that's 3 feet tall.
Okay.
And we have one that would be one tree. Like,
okay.
There's only one tree you put presents under.
Okay.
To me, that's the Christmas tree.
All right.
Anything else is like a plant decoration.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
I was just getting clarification.
Yeah, it's got to be, it's a special place. It's like, it's the place you check for presents.
Sure.
It's a special place. It's just one tree.
Wendy.
After watching all these movies, one year I'd love to go insane. Like, honest to God. And I wouldn't want it for always. That's way too much work. But like one year, I would love to actually, like, you know what? We're going to have people over. We're going to finally have our housewarming. Let's do it at Christmas. And like, Christmas trees everywhere.
Fresh Christmas trees are dope. They smell amazing. So.
What I'm thinking about, they
wouldn't be fresh. Like, I'd get the silver weird one. I'd get the light up one.
I keep forgetting you probably don't have it's probably expensive to get a Christmas tree in Texas.
I wouldn't know. I don't like real ones because we have a cat and she knocks shit over. And
I'm thinking about
Wendy has like in their like master bedroom, they have a bathroom and there's like a closet that's just the toilet. I mean, there's basically room for the toilet and your knees, and
like
that's it.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yep.
And I'm envisioning that there would be a tree both in the bathroom and in the toilet closet.
Tim, you had that Christmas tree in the shower of your basement bathroom forever. And every time I would go in there to pee, it was like the tree was taking a shower, and I would be like, "Oh, excuse me, I'm so sorry." And I always felt like I had to apologize.
It's
like I was
still
interrupting.
There. That's
the tree.
Where we store the Christmas tree. Nobody uses it for a shower. Anyway, I'm going to say that for me, we have essentially four. I forgot about the Charlie Brown tree. I think it feels like the right amount. The house feels decorated right with four. So I'm going to say...
Four full-size?
No, one is full-size, one is half-size. One was a tiny little kid's tree that we got basically so the cats could attack it.
Okay.
And then there's the Charlie Brown tree. So, you know, I will say that I'm good with that number of trees. So more
that
than
to
that.
Me, that's not four. I'd call that two at best.
Yeah, two and a half.
That's
maybe.
Like two at best,
well,
really.
But I'd be okay if they were bigger. So we're going to go with four.
All right. Four full-size trees.
Okay.
I feel like what I'm hearing from Wendy's answer is that what Wendy wants for Christmas every year is more trees. And then one year she'll have enough trees from all her friends. Mm-hmm. She'll be able to pull off this decoration plan.
We'll just all mail you our own particular version of a plug-in light-up fake tree for you. Yeah, and then you'll have them.
I should also point out, in Texas,
I could line them up like out along the driveway.
That'd be great.
Like I could make it a whole thing.
Amazing.
I should also point out that Pat has a collection of crystal Christmas trees. So if you include that, we have like 40 of those fuckers in our house. Anyway, Question number three, what is your favorite version of A Christmas Carol? It can be a movie or a television special or even a play if there was a version that was your favorite version. So your favorite version of A Christmas Carol.
I think we have the same answer.
We have the same one.
Yeah, Scrooged.
Yeah.
Scrooged, full with Bill Murray.
Yeah.
Is one of my favorite Christmas movies of all time. I almost said it for answers earlier, but I remembered, Tim, that you had asked us these questions, so I saved it for this. I love that movie. My brother and I used to quote that movie as kids. Like, we would just spend hours just back and forth saying different lines from that movie. Just absolutely love it.
Bill Murray and Carol Kane.
Yep.
Like, I just, that's it. That's all I
and
need.
And Mary Lou Retton as Tiny Tim.
And Bobcat Goldthwait as...
Yeah, right? Yeah.
There's so many. It's such everything. A good movie. Yeah, yeah.
The best version of A Christmas Carol is the one with Alistair Sim.
Mm-hmm.
Period.
I agree.
Because he is the only one, for me... Right, except that I'm right on this. He is the only one who is an actual asshole at the beginning. Like, you believe this man is cold, heartless, and almost sociopathic. Like, and so his change of heart feels more real. All the other ones, like, he's just sort of grumpy, right? But Alistair yeah. Sim, you're like, no, I could see, like, when this man dies, people are going to be like, good riddance.
I know.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much.
corporate executive who wants to staple antlers onto living beings is like, I feel like that's fairly heartless.
At least, I'm sorry, but that's so over the top.
Yeah. The problem is you can't believe scared. Bill Murray would turn into a nice guy.
Tim, what about you?
For me, I've mentioned it before, but I really do like the Alistair Sim version, but the Muppet Christmas Carol, I honestly think that Michael Caine is one of the better Scrooges out there. I believe him as mean Scrooge. I believe him as good Scrooge. I enjoy what they do with the spirits, which I think is super important. I think the Ghost of Christmas Yet to Come, I mean, that the Muppets were actually able to make a creepy as fuck Ghost of Christmas Yet to Come.
Yeah.
I give them a lot of credit for that. So that's mine.
Yeah, that's a good one.
And also they actually, weirdly, the Christmas Past is the most faithful to the book.
It is. So we have
question four.
The Grinch hated Christmas because he believed it was a materialistic holiday. The Who's knew it meant a little bit more. And as we aren't giving our money to the Salvation this or any other year, what is your charity of choice?
So our charity of choice that isn't the Salvation Army because they can go fuck themselves.
They can go fuck themselves. Yes, because they are super homophobic, transphobic,
and
awful. And I'll go first. It is the Hallie Q. Brown Center, which we had the head of the Hallie Q. Brown Center on a couple of weeks ago. But I donate food to them every week. They really do a great job working with the community in our area. Obviously, as an organization that's led and organized by people of color, they've been super, super important, especially in the wake of the murder of George Floyd. And so they are they're kind of my go-to charity this season.
All right. My Second Harvest is where I've been sending a bunch of donations this year, mostly because when my family asked for it. My mom does one, too, that's another, like, Feeding America, but it's basically Second Harvest, just, you know, a different one of those. But, like, a charity that just helps get people food right now because there's a lot of people who are unemployed, underemployed, and therefore are needing extra food help this year. Got one?
Sure. Yeah. Out Front, Minnesota.
Yep.
They are a queer social services nonprofit in Minnesota for gay, bi, transgender, queer people who offer them support and fight against violence and discrimination
for
those folks.
Wendy?
This year, it's Act Blue, the Georgia runoff elections.
Oh, yeah.
That's good.
It's a good one, too. All right.
Final question
number five. Final question. Boy. The most important question.
Okay.
What is a building you would be happy to blow up in order to steal $600 million in negotiable bearer bonds?
Mm.
You have to be happy to blow up the building.
So hang on. Willing to or excited to?
Excited to.
Because
it has to be a building you're excited to blow up.
Some buildings I could stand to get rid of, Tim. Sure. And if I get all these bear bonds out of it, then you know, all the more better.
I mean, I'll just say what everyone's thinking. Trump Tower.
Yeah, right.
Sure,
that's
a good one.
I'm gonna pick the one in Vegas. I want the one in Vegas gone specifically.
Vegas Trump Tower.
I want the New York.
You want the New York one? Yeah. We're gonna get that $12 million in Vegas.
I'm gonna hit where most of the millionaires are in this country, especially the asshole ones, and I don't care if there wouldn't really be in there, but I want to blow up the United States Senate.
Oh, sure.
Because fuck those guys.
Sure.
Yeah.
Also, Mitch McConnell doesn't get away.
No. In fact, we tell him that they're going to sign a bill that takes money away from orphans so that he'll be there specifically.
Yeah. He's a turtle. He can't move that fast anyway. Yeah. So.
Mitch McConnell is the cokehead who tries to negotiate and then ends up getting it in the end.
Yeah.
Along those lines, and I need to make it very clear that this needs to happen before January 20th.
Oh, yes.
And I'm going for the White House.
The White House, yes.
Fucking go Independence Day on that shit.
As long as the flag is flying overhead.
Oh, we want the flag up.
Well, it's
because
important.
That means
because if the flag is flying at the White House, that means the president's home.
Oh, I gotcha. Wow. So
that's an important piece of the puzzle. But I was originally gonna have a theme. Yeah, I was gonna say the British Museum, but the problem is you got to get all the shit out of there first.
Yeah, give that back to the people who want it.
Yeah,
Do you know? Did you guys hear about the fact that the Brexit deal means that? All of the other nations are we'd like our stuff back now.
Ha!
Because that's what the British Museum was using as their excuse to hold on to it. We're all in the EU together. And so now
that's
Greece
great.
Is like, we'd that's like great. Our marbles back, please.
That's great.
Yeah. So.
All right, well, this was a very festive end to a very festive episode. And I just want to make sure everyone knows that we are absolutely serious about this. We are going to blow up these buildings.
Whoa.
Wait a minute. Holy shit.
In fact, did you know that it's illegal for me to say, I'm going to kill the president? Just as an example of something that is illegal
right,
it would be illegal if I were to say, I'm definitely going to kill the president.
That would be illegal to say hypothetically. Yeah. Yes,
all right.
For sure.
Thank you so much for listening. I hope that you have a very Merry Christmas. I hope that you had a happy Hanukkah. If you celebrate Kwanzaa, I hope you enjoy it and it's full of light and love and family as much as you can. Guys, stay home. If you haven't already decided to stay home, fucking stay home. Unless you're listening to us in some country that doesn't have lockdown right now, like maybe
go
you're
New
Zealand.
Zealand
or Australia. We do have listeners there, or maybe you're somewhere where really the restrictions aren't that bad for you. Congratulations, enjoy that. But the rest of us, if you are in basically Europe, or if you are in America, North America, South America, whatever, fucking stay home. It's real bad. And we're hopefully going to get through the worst of it. We really appreciate you all so much. We actually have a new Patreon supporter.
Get
Amanda.
Out.
Thanks, Amanda. Amanda's in the giving spirit.
Early.
And so they decided to give us the money, and that's great for them and great for us. I mean, so you could be as cool as Amanda and, toss a few bucks our way on Patreon. If you did, you probably heard this early. And some of you got to see this fetching video where we were very, very cute. And my hair and makeup were super cute. And it was really great. Anyway, tell us in the comments what your favorite holiday Christmas movies are. Do you have a New Year's movie? Because I want to hear about it, because I couldn't think of any.
The Thin Man.
Oh, yeah. Good call.
That's
good call.
Me and Molly's whole relationship is
it's true.
Fucking
it's true. Nick and Nora.
All
the way. All right.
But no
you.
Baby.
Yeah, no. Oh, what baby?
Oh, God, no.
Thank you so
when
much.
When Harry Met Maybe. Sally.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, when Harry Met Sally. All right. We've been Geeks Without God. I hope you have a wonderful time the rest of this year. We're going to be back with a New Year's wrap-up that we'll try not to make sad. And other than that, we love you all very much. Thank you for listening. We'll see you next Tuesday. Bye.
Bye. Another thing all holiday movies have, the Nakatomi Plaza.
We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks without God.
Need more Geeks Without God? go to our website, read our blog posts, find us on Facebook, or follow us on Twitter at Geeks Without God. Social media!
We're geeks,
we're geeks,
we're geeks without God.
We're geeks,
we're geeks,
we're geeks without God.
We're geeks, geeks without God.
She's also talked about a zombie fungus, so that was exciting.